Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's podcast is sponsored by dental healthcare brand Regenerate Enamel Science. The brand is known for their groundbreaking NR5 technology that is designed to act on early invisible stages of enamel erosion by restoring its mineral content and micro-hardness with regular use. Clinically proven, it's all about making your approach to dental care easy and effective. The brand's three-step oral care regime consists of an advanced toothpaste, advanced enamel serum, and an advanced foaming mouthwash to keep your smile strong and healthy. It really is the expert way to future-proof your smile. We spend so much time investing in our beauty regimes, we should surely do the same for our teeth. To find out more about the brand and what they have to offer, visit regeneratenr5.co.uk. Welcome to the Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Hattie Cotmore, and Lou Half. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
How's everyone's weekend?
Good. I have had such a crazy summer. It was quite nice to have a really chilled one. Mm. I didn't really do anything. Stayed in, watched TV, read a lot of things.
Yeah. Oh, you've got a lot to add then.
Yeah, I know. Charlotte looks thrilled.
Yeah, great. Tell us more.
Well, I think because this summer there's been so much to watch, it's quite overwhelming. And I just have basically not been able to get through the list of all the amazing things that have come out. So I've been really trying to dent my to-read list.
Okay.
So I've just read The Mother-in-Law by Sally Hepworth, which came out this year. If you like Leanne Moriarty, Michelle Francis, psychological thriller vibes, you'll probably like this. And it's basically a domestic thriller, so hence the name Mother-in-Law. It starts with a woman who's married, three young kids, and she finds out that her mother-in-law has just died. And the premise is the police are trying to work out, was it a murder or a suicide?
Oh, I love things like this.
Really, really well written. So it's two timelines. So you follow from the family finding out about the death, but then you also go back to when Lucy, the main character, first meets her mother-in-law. And it's first-person narrative, but also flips between Lucy and her mother-in-law. So you kind of follow their relationship from both sides, as well as all the other familial relationships, and basically trying to work out why she died.
Is the idea that you question Lucy? Because obviously that's quite random to have a murder be told from the perspective of someone's daughter-in-law is a bit peculiar.
Yeah, really, really clever, because obviously you're questioning her, but she's half the narrative, so you want to believe the narrator, but also you have the mother-in-law's perspective.
Mm-hmm. That's quite Gone Girl vibes.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Really good. And these timelines get closer and closer together as the book goes on, so you kind of are following them
towards the murder.
Yeah.
Or the death.
Or the death.
I haven't read it. I don't know. Towards whatever happened.
Read it and you'll find out. But yeah, really, really good read. I literally got through it in a whole day.
So. Oh, fun. I like that.
Very fast paced.
Fun. And a good twist?
Yeah, and quite a few twists. It's not just about the death,
okay,
as it turns out. There's a lot of other twists and turns that go on in this family, and that's kind of what keeps you into the plot.
Okay, because nothing annoys me more with those books than when you're like waiting for the big twist and it turns out it is who you guessed.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
But you did guess it 100 pages in.
So disappointing.
Or often with those, you're kind of like, you know how it's going to end, but it's how they're going to get there that's kind of what's gripping you. So if then that isn't kind of a convoluted plot either.
Yeah.
Like,
really disappointing.
No, this definitely keeps you guessing, and there are quite a few different outcomes. So it's kind of working out which you think it could be.
Okay. Sounds good. I like it. Thanks, Hattie.
Briefly, if anyone else likes books in that same genre, I recently read Lies, Lies, Lies by Adele Parks and The Guilty Party by Mel McGrath, which
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I'll lend them to you. They're both really good, again, sort of similar thrillers, what's going to happen, easy reads, but good nonetheless.
But worth reading.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Heather, you went to the cinema this weekend, as did I.
Yes. We both watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Charlotte, what did you think?
I'm a bit of a film Neanderthal, so I'm not into cinema, if that makes sense. Okay. Like, if I go to the cinema, it is to see a big blockbuster. I'm not somebody who goes that regularly. I listen to a lot of film podcasts because I like analysis of art forms, but I can't really get there myself, I guess, is how I would describe it. So yeah, I'm pretty like basic when it comes to films. So I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is the new Tarantino film. Obviously, it's been billed as like the blockbuster of the summer. I was so disappointed.
No.
It was so boring. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Which
so
is long. That always puts me off.
That's long.
Yeah, we were thinking about seeing it last night and I heard it was that long and I was like, ooh, I'll wait.
And like, I went on a Friday night. So that's like after a week at work, after a day at work. If you sit down at like for an 8:30 viewing, it's a long time to stay awake for.
I deliberately went at the 10 past six showing.
Yeah, that's clever. Well. It's an afternoon activity if you do want to see it. And the acting is amazing. Brad Pitt, I thought, in particular. Yeah. Like, really spectacular acting. It's about a TV actor who's kind of coming towards the end of his career and his stuntman who has followed him throughout his career and on numerous TV shows and their relationship. And then sort of going on in the background, Margot Robbie is playing Sharon Tate, who obviously existed in real life. And she was famously Roman Polanski's wife and the victim of the Charles Manson murders. So the first 2 hours are basically just Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio living their life. Like I can't explain nothing. I couldn't tell you a single thing that happens. It's like, well, they get in a car and then they kind of go to this set and then they go home and then they like get in the car again. Like, honestly, nothing happens. And then the last half an hour, I'd say, was brilliant. It was basically like watching Pulp Fiction and then watching 15 minutes of Django at the end. That's how I would describe it. From Tarantino, I like the Django's and the like Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. I like fast-paced action, fun story, quirky. And this was...
That's what I thought it was going to be from the trailer, whether they've taken those best bits and kind of...
It's a really weird like blend of reality and fantasy as well. Anyway, so my theory is that it's for people who... Like, critics have raved about it. Yeah. And so it's for people who get cinema.
But why do you think people are raving about it? Like, can you see why?
Well, Heather.
I loved it.
Can explain.
Okay. I went into it daunted that it was 2 hours, 40 minutes, but it went so quickly for me. Like, when it ended, I was actually like, oh, like, I just assumed that there was going to be some sort of epilogue because I was shocked because for me, it had gone quite quickly. I thought,
sorry to interrupt. Also, because the ending is a little surprising.
Yeah, the ending is surprising. We shan't ruin it. For me, like, the acting was brilliant. I thought it was hilarious. If you were looking at the narrative, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Explosive really happens. Okay. So, but I quite like those films. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of see them as plays when there's sometimes just two people in a room talking for 2 hours.
So you were more invested in the characters than the storyline?
Well, there is no storyline to be invested in.
But there is a bit. Like, it's basically a day in a life, and then there are a few flashbacks which explain why the two main characters are the way they are.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any problems with literally just watching two men shooting shit in the car and as in talking. And yeah, just kind of hanging out. I enjoyed it.
And are you a fan of Tarantino films?
Yeah. The only one I didn't love was The Hateful Eight, otherwise. He's somebody that I definitely go to the cinema to see one of his films.
And I think everybody does. Yeah. And that's kind of the trap that I fell into, I suppose. I was listening to a critic talk about it this morning, and he was saying, you know, you get invited into Tarantino's world, and you can tell from the fact that there are two fictional main characters, but also that a bit of reality is woven in with the whole Manson stuff, that there is this kind of blurring of lines between fantasy and reality. And I think that's what the critics have loved so much, because it's kind of harping back to a golden age of Hollywood. And he was saying that what the Manson murders in reality signified was the change of Hollywood. He claims that sources said that nobody was surprised by it, that there was like this kind of big backlash against Hollywood at the time. And he said that watching them kind of live this incredibly slow-paced life, because that's what they're doing, it's kind of very lazy, halcyon days. You know, they have a beer, they're killing time on set, like it's very slow. He said that was the beauty of the film for him, that watching them chilling as if they had all the time in the world, when really time was running out for them and their industry. And for him, that was like completely spellbinding. So you know what I mean? It's for people in the industry who like care about Hollywood and the industry.
But we were saying this before, films about films are always what critics and, you know, real film fans love.
Films,
you know,
about acting.
Like we're saying, like Birdman. La La Land.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
what was that black and white one that came, that won?
The Artist.
Yeah, The Artist. Yes. Anything like that about sort of the magic of Hollywood always does well with, you know, critics.
Exactly, because it's playing straight into their hands.
Yeah. Okay. So would you recommend for other people to see it?
From speaking to people in the office and others, I think unless you do genuinely love his work, maybe... don't watch
but
it.
But I do love some of his work.
Most people I've spoken to haven't loved it, or they've been, yeah, like, bored and like, what's going to happen now? Mm. So maybe if you're looking at it because Margot Robbie's in it and it's like, ooh, amazing, like, she's barely features really and has about two lines in
it's
it.
So, you know how people have been quite critical of the fact that she hardly speaks?
Yeah.
Like, she hardly speaks. It's really? So noticeable. There's a whole montage of her when she first appears on screen and you're like waiting for her to say anything. It's like almost weird how much she doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
But it does make me think that's deliberate.
Yeah, that said, that cinema scene, there's a scene where she sneaks into a cinema to watch herself on screen because she's still a kind of budding actress and isn't like world famous or anything. And yeah, just the delight you see on her face watching herself as the people in the audience are laughing at the jokes and things is really nice to see. I'd watch it again at the cinema because I feel like I would pick up on more. But
I'd still recommend people to see it. I think you should know what you're in for.
And I think also as well, to kind of counteract what I've already said, but I think you do need to watch it at the cinema because I do think if I was watching that at home, I probably would be a bit distracted or start kind of doing something else perhaps. So yeah, maybe the cinema is the best place for it.
Interesting.
Divisive for sure.
Very divisive. Heather, you wrote a feature on where to eat, drink and visit in Notting Hill, because whether you're planning on attending the carnival this week, these probably don't apply if you're attending carnival. I think you'll be doing you'll be elsewhere.
It was a hook.
Yeah, good timing. But whether you are heading into the area for carnival or not, there's a seriously good selection of things to do in the area now. So I want to know, where are your favourites?
So I finally went to pharmacy for the first time a couple of weekends ago for a vegan friend's birthday, and it was every bit as good as I thought it would be.
It's really cool.
Yeah, like the atmosphere is really nice. It's obviously really beautifully done in there, but it does just kind of add to a sort of nice special vibe.
The interiors are amazing. Yeah. And I think you read the menu and you're not like, ooh, super vegan. Like it's a really nice menu, and I think you could take a non-vegetarian and I don't think they'd be upset by it.
Yeah, I've been a few times, like with Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite happy to have something healthy, but in like a cool setting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I had one of the Mexican bowls, which just had kind of, you know, all the good stuff, including their own sort of like, you know, like cashew cream stuff, which emulates sour cream. And honestly, it just all tasted absolutely delicious. Mm. They've started doing afternoon teas. Their high tea, which has got CBD in. So
clever name.
Yeah, I know, I quite like that. They're open kind of throughout the day. And yeah, I was really impressed. And it wasn't as expensive as I thought it might be as well. Okay. So all in all.
And do they still do their syringes?
Yes, I didn't have one myself, but I did see them being prepped in the bar.
Yeah, you can get like a charcoal shot.
And it comes in a syringe.
Yeah. And you just like squeeze it in your mouth.
Yeah. I went maybe 3 years ago and I really liked it. And it was kind of when like a vegan restaurant was like big news.
Yeah.
So I'm really keen to go back actually because I really liked it.
I imagine, it's improved with age and whatnot. So yeah, that's really good. On the sort of restaurant front, Egg Slut has just opened. Terrible name. But
I went on Saturday.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about it.
It was really good. It's very fast foody.
Yeah.
And actually, when we all noticed that when we paid, it comes up as Shake Shack on the Folk Festival, as if they owned it, which makes it feel a little bit more fast foody.
Yeah.
The food itself, it doesn't taste fast foody. The queue wasn't too bad. I was there on Saturday and I queued for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Like, really not bad at all. And you get inside and you have to order like a fast food restaurant. You like order at the till, go and sit down, they call your name, you pick it up. But it was so delicious. I got this like brioche bun with this, I mean, the scrambled eggs are insane.
They look so nice.
Creamy. And I had this brioche bun and it was and I had cheese and avo and bacon.
Okay.
And they had like really good fresh orange juice, really good brunch. And actually it kept me filled. I did it after an exercise class and I was really full for ages.
And Spenny?
No, it was £15 a head.
When I went to LA last year, we tried to go because it's a sort of LA thing.
Institution.
It is. Got some in Miami now as well. We just didn't even try, to be honest, because we just kind of had already seen it on the trip and was like, let's not bother. Okay. But yeah, great.
And obviously,
it's now here.
Clues in the name, but it's all egg based.
Essentially, yeah. It's
okay. Legs, but really, really good ones.
Nice.
There's also another new restaurant on Portobello Road called Gold. I went a few weeks ago and it's really fun, really, really vibey. We went on a Friday night and it's like a really loud bar. And basically the decor is really cool. Like you're in a sort of conservatory. So it feels like you're outside. They've like planted trees in the floor. They've got lanterns hanging off those trees.
Cool.
But it is indoors. So it's like hot and loud and buzzy.
When Nina Parker was in a couple of weeks ago, she was saying it was really good for veggie options.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely really good for veggies. But also we had like a big baked fish as well. It was, and there was pasta on the, like it's a really good assortment and like a fun place for an evening out. Actually, I didn't even think about this. So on Saturday night, I went for the second time to Lisa's in Notting Hill.
Oh, really? Yes.
It is. Oh, I almost don't even want to talk about it because it's like such a gem. It's not that new. It's been open for a few years. But it is the other end of Portobello to Gold, behind back towards Ladbroke Grove. And it's a Scandi restaurant. So it's kind of like very minimalist cafe. It's got like kind of bare light bulbs hanging from the ceiling. But on a Thursday, Friday and Saturday nights, they have a live band. Oh, and it's fun. Like proper up and dancing with the band. And so it's like a really good way to have a night out. We went with like a big group of friends both times. Like you can kind of have shots, but also like have your dinner and then like have a boogie, but home by 12:30.
I'm always looking for places like that, that's sort of like a bit more than like a nice dinner out, but it's got like a good vibe. So that it's kind of, if you don't want like a full night, and you can just have a lovely dinner, have a couple of drinks, and then sort of it can turn into how much of a night that you want to spend.
Exactly. I mean, I've literally whinged about that on the podcast so many times, how there aren't that many options in London like that. It's like pizza Pomodoro, but cool. That's how I would describe it.
Okay.
It's really, really fun. I highly recommend it.
Great. And the food's actually really good.
Food's really good. All, again, like all ceviche, charcuterie platters, like asparagus has featured heavily on the menu this summer. Okay. It's really, really good. I really recommend.
One for the list, definitely.
Yeah, Elsa, so away from restaurants, we've also recommended Notting Hill Arts Club, which I've seen loads of bands play there before. And again, you can kind of turn it into a night out afterwards if you feel like a big one. There's also, if you've got kids with you, the Museum of Brands is really good. It's
that is really fun.
It's really good. It is what it says. It's just loads of old sort of packaging and campaigns and posters for sort of every brand you can think of.
Where is that? Do you know?
It is on Lancaster Road.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been there about 3 or 4 years. I remember writing about it in my old job when it opened. But they've even got kind of these big cabinets of, you know, all the sort of Happy Meal toys from over the years. Like basically almost every one they can find. And yeah, it's just really interesting if you're into sort of typography branding, you know, those kind of things. They've got loads of really good ones. All the good old Schweppes ones and things, for example. So yeah, it's good to take kids to if you've got kids. Yeah. But if not, it's still worth a wonder. We've also got Portobello Road Market, of course, which everyone knows about, so there's no point going into too much detail about that one.
Great.
There we go. Okay, loads of, there's about like 30-odd things on that list.
Can I say, Notting Hill is the best area. And like, I know that's no like, it's not like groundbreaking.
It's that like boutique. There's lovely places you can go for lunch and breakfast and work out, and then all those lovely shops as well. And it's just got such, like I said, it feels like a bit of a cliche being like, Notting Hill's great.
Yeah, I know.
But it really is.
Okay, great. Well, for more of Heather's recommendations, I feel like we could talk about Notting Hill all day, then have a look at the feature. Okay, we're going to talk about manicures now. We wrote a piece on 8 ways to make your mani last longer. So whether you've done it at home by yourself or whether you've had them professionally done, we wrote a list of all the things that you should do to ensure it lasts. So I want to know, I'm looking around. There's not many manicures going on in this room, guys.
I'm like scrunching my hands so you can't see the state of my cuticles.
Although, Hattie, you've got some funky colours
going on. Situation.
Just trying something new.
So you've got 4 purple fingers on one hand with an orange on your ring finger.
Yeah.
And then 4 orange on the other hand with purple on the
vice
ring
versa
finger.
On the other
Correct.
Hand.
Yeah.
Versa. I feel like it's a thing at the moment.
Tamara's a big fan.
Tamara's quite a summery.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Thanks,
guys. Did you do it yourself?
I did, but they are horrific.
They're a little chips now at this right stage. Now. So how many days ago did you do that?
Nearly 2 weeks.
Oh, that's all right.
So it has lasted quite well. My trick is always use a base coat.
Yes.
I'm quite bad for everything else. But I will always, always do a base coat.
It's a waste of time painting your nails if you're not going to use a base coat.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
I have never used a base coat. No.
But that's why your nails always
chip. I know, but I always use a top coat.
No,
oh, see,
no. It will peel straight off. As you know, Lou, that will still make them peel straight off.
So terrible with nails. Before getting engaged, I probably got my nails done like once every 6 months. And I felt super fancy when I had them, but they chip all the time. Until last week, we have never had a dishwasher. So doing the washing up was obviously, my hands are just submerged in hot water, it seems, all the time. And that's one of the tips, that do not use hot water for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Guys, rubber gloves. Get your marigolds out.
But now I feel that I should get manicures more often because my fingers look so much nicer when they are painted.
And do people always ask to see your hand these days?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, I just like hide my fingers a little bit. So it is really nice to have, but I can never seem to make it last because like I'll get a little air bubble under it and I'll just pick at it a tiny bit, and that does not look good. Nothing upsets me more than like a little chip or just one that's come off.
Yeah.
So I just think if you're going to have that, it's better to just have nothing.
I really look shit without nail varnish on. It just really doesn't suit me. I wear a lot of rings, so I feel like my hands are like quite a feature. And yeah, it just doesn't suit me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just can't pull it off.
Instantly feel like, I don't know, just like pepped up.
Yes.
If I have my nails. I feel quite naked without nail varnish
me
on.
Me too. Me too. I feel like I've gone out without my face on.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
The only thing is, I think it's just getting used to it. It's kind of one. I remember there was a time when I always used to wear eyeliner. And then when I didn't, I was like, oh my God, I look naked. Mm-hmm. And then once you just get used to it, then you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. So I think often you just kind of need to almost have a bit of a cleanse, have a month without it, and be like, okay, yeah, I can't get used to this.
I only use polish because gels or anything similar. I cannot explain how bad they are for my nail. I know some people claim that it makes it so much better for them, but like even just for my wedding, I had gels on for 2 weeks and they're still recovering. They're still
really?
Yeah, it makes them so weak just for two weeks. So yeah, so I tend to just use polish, but the maintenance of that is quite high.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a pain in the ass. How often would you say you paint yours?
Every couple of weeks. Or I try to, but it kind of just depends when I can be bothered. Yeah. I'd rather have gels. So if I have an occasion, I will go and get gels done. Mm-hmm. And they don't really affect my nails that much.
Yeah, so people say that. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I also, my trick is to paint my nails at my desk because that way you don't do anything with your hands. Mm. So if I do it at home, then instantly I want to like, I don't know, put my fingers like, if I do it at my desk and then all I have to do is sit and type or use my mouse, then that's like a very good drying period.
Yeah, I think that's my thing is just, there's never a time where I'm sat still long enough for them to dry. And even when, if I do go get them done and I'm sat under the little
fan thing. Oh, I get so bored.
Boring. They must be done now and I'll walk off and then I'll go get, I'll like go into my handbag and be like, oh shit.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Heather, you're quite a bare-nailed lady.
Yeah, I do. I like having pedicures mainly. Yeah. So not, I don't do it as much as I would like to because they are a bit pricey. But yeah, I enjoy. I think that's more just the process of just getting your actual feet
cleansed.
Yeah,
exactly.
And they use that like shave on the bottom of your face.
But I am the most ticklish person in the entire world, and I'm not joking. It's like an ordeal.
Yeah,
it's only when they use that sort of scrubber type thing. I can't stand it. Like thinking about it now, it's making my toes curl out.
I think I've got really strong reflex though, because I feel it behind my ears. I get this like, I know it's really strange.
It's all related.
That's reflexology.
Yeah. So I need to speak to someone about which part of my body is the issue that really hurts. But I'm literally like,
that is fascinating.
So
I'm squirming in my seat as I touch my toes behind my ears.
Yeah. Wow.
Really weird.
That is interesting.
I want to know more about that.
But yeah, pedicures, yes. Manicures, no.
That is one thing that I've learned not to do is experiment with nail colours. Like, you can really pull it off, Hattie. You look really cool in a quirky colour. I just look tacky. I don't know. I know, I promise you. Like, I find that the lighter the colour, the better it stays on. Mm-hmm. If I have a red will just chip in like one day. And B, I just don't suit like snazzy colour. Or it makes me feel self-conscious. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's not true.
I love it because I think it's the one part of your look that doesn't really have to match any outfit.
Exactly.
So that's why I like a bright colour or a glitter.
Yeah, and it's like actually we were saying with Lisa the other day, we were talking about colourful makeup on the podcast, and she was like, well, you can take it off, so it's a fun way to experiment with colour and stuff. Okay, well, we haven't shared any tips for making it last longer apart from use a base coat, so anything
and,
else?
And marigolds.
Yeah.
I liked the tip, go easy on the amount of polish, because I think traditionally I'd have just like done a nice thick gloop and like then waited forever, but actually thinner and more layers is obviously easy, an obvious one.
But with some colours, like I've got Essie ballet slippers, and you have to get a couple of coats to get a good colour on that.
Georgie's always been adamant that you need 3 coats of ballet slippers. I think you can get away with 2 if your hands are tanned.
And if you do them thick coats. So
yeah, they've got to be thick-ish.
The last time I got my nails done, they didn't have ballet slippers there, so I took mine along with me. And so she did it using my bottle, and I couldn't believe how much she used.
Were you annoyed? You're like, oi.
Yeah, I was like, that's mine, I'm paying for that.
Did she do 2 layers or 3?
She did 2 layers and it looked almost like as dark as what.
Yeah, I'm wearing like a white.
Charlotte's got a white. So ballet slippers is sort of, if for those that don't know, it's sort of like an iridescent, slightly sort of pinky,
pearly pink,
but without that sort of sheen to it.
Yes, it's like a whitey pink.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
So depending on how many layers, obviously you can make it thicker or not. I don't really like it when you can see your moon. The moon's
The crescent. Yeah, your half crescent, whatever it's called.
So I like it a little bit thicker, but I was surprised at how much she used, and actually it looked really good.
I am actually going to give a shout out to this white because people always ask where it's from. It's called Pre-Show Jitters by Essie. Okay, this also says roll your bottle instead of shaking it. If your bottle has been sat stagnant for a while, roll it between your hands to mix the formula up. You'll notice some manicurists do this instead of vigorously shaking it. This is because shaking can cause air bubbles, whereas rolling just lubricates the formula for a smoother finish.
That does make sense. Like, you do see them kind of, rolling
yeah, right between their hands.
A lot violently going for it.
Another tip is sesh feet. Obviously, sure we've talked about that before. Yeah. It is just the ultimate top coat. It's like, do you use that?
No.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. I really would just want to go and paint my nails now.
Yeah. I've got all the equipment on my desk.
You've
morning.
Got me really yes. excited about it.
Lunchtime task for exactly. you, Heather.
Yeah. The other thing that I've recently got into, like cuticle oil, because I really find that when I have a manicure, it makes my cuticles so much worse. I think it gets aggravated by somebody like clipping at them. Yeah. So I asked Becky the best one, and she recommended the Jessica cuticle oil, and I love it. It is so good. It's been amazing. Like the most hydrating thing.
And what
ever.
You just put it on every day?
Yeah, give it a little pipette squeeze and then rub it in, and it's really helped. So
nice.
Okay, well, for more tips on how to make your money last longer, then do have a look at the piece on the site.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about stain removal now. I hope that everybody here has got some good recommendations. We wrote a piece on how to get rid of everything from sweat patches to oil marks, whether it's your clothes or your carpets. So I want to know, Lou, I feel like this is very up your street.
Oh, I love this.
What are your top tips for stain removal?
I was really pleased that the ones that I use are on there. Vanish carpet cleaner is incredible. So it's on there and it basically, you shake it up, you spray it on, it's kind of like a foam, and you let it just kind of sink in a little bit. Give it a scrub with a scourer or a bit of a sponge. Really, really work it in. And then you leave it for a couple of hours, and then you hoover it up. It says to hoover it. I don't really know what you hoover, but it must be something with like the particles of like the dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is amazing. We have a communal hallway, and communal hallways just always get so grubby. One of the flats has got a dog. We once had an Ocado delivery that arrived and the milk spilled. I mean, milk is the worst, but it often gets stained, and I just pop down there with my Vanish and I am happy as
well. I bet they love you in the build.
It's just, it's so satisfying when you see a stain that you're like, oh, that is going to be tricky, and it comes off.
Yeah, that is so true.
So yeah, and then also the Vanish spray for clothes, especially with whites, kind of anything that's needs like a little bit of an extra touch, just kind of before it goes in the machine, I'll just give it a quick spray, put it in, comes out good as new. So yeah,
top tip. Heather?
I don't love cleaning in any form, really, so I don't get too excited by such product. But recently I stayed at my parents' while they're on holiday, and they've got two massive cats, both of whom were sick every night. Oh, so nice. I'd come down in the morning like, lovely. But yeah, I was kind of rifling through my parents' cleaning cupboard, and yeah, using different things each time. And
how was that for you?
No, it was actually quite interesting. But yeah, the Vanish was the one.
Yeah.
So it says here, I'm not just talking randomly about Catsick, it is actually in the piece.
Oh, it's
but
one of the options.
Yeah, one of the options. So I just picked one that I'd used recently. But it, as it says in the piece, yeah, pick up any debris and blot up any moisture without rubbing it in. So there we go. Don't rub the Catsick into the carpet. And then if a stain has dried, which it hadn't in my case, you need to moisten it and apply a bit of carpet stain removal product. Mm. And then you can neutralise any odour with white wine vinegar or white wine, according to this, which I didn't do. I just used the Vanish. The Vanish.
But, their white wine supply was diminished.
I mean, it had anyway. But, but also, yeah, they said as well, you could also mix laundry detergent with warm water in a spray bottle and spray the area. And blot it away after a few minutes. So next time I stay, I might try that one.
It's those hacks that I really like. Like this suggests that if you have sweat stains, to use clear vinegar or lemon juice. You can soak a sponge with vinegar or lemon juice, and then you just rinse it.
The smell of vinegar just puts me off doing that.
Yeah, although, I mean, sweat stains on, like, T-shirts and stuff is so annoying, but I just think there's a time when a white T-shirt is past its best.
True, yeah.
And you get rid, like...
Or it becomes a sleeping T-shirt.
Yeah, or a painting. Yeah. Or just, like, even just using a bit of cotton for, like, cleaning or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Well, another one on there that I thought was interesting as well was that you can get rid of mold on clothes with salt and lemon. Mm. Again, as soon as I have mold on my clothes...
How does one get mold on your clothes?
Oh, guys. So we had a really bad situation in our old flat.
Damp.
And like if sort of the back of a wardrobe, for example, if it gets affected, then it can just rise up. In the winter, we often put, it's kind of like a hanger with a like plastic bag. And then it's got these like white beads at the bottom. And then all the water like gathers within it. And I'm like, oh my God, there's that much water or like condensation and damp in my wardrobe. You have no idea. It's so disgusting.
God, that's quite scary.
So those are really, really handy. That's not a stain remover tip, but that is a good thing to, I think, especially like we live in a Victorian conversion. Mm. There's always like problems like that. So always good to have.
On the subject of mold, HG, which I mentioned a few times, which you can get from the pound shop, do a really good mold spray. So for like my bathroom hasn't got a window in it. So like every couple of weeks it gets horrible. So you have to really... go in, and that's the only thing I've used. It's called HG mold spray.
Okay.
You can get it on eBay and in the pound shop, and it really works. You just spray it on. It smells a bit like a swimming pool for a couple, like 10 minutes or so, and then rinse it off with the shower and it all just disappears.
Yeah, we have that for our ceiling as well. Like, again, it's a bathroom with really shit ventilation, no windows. So every couple of months on the ceiling, bits start to grow. So disgusting. And also, you just can't beat a bit of bleach. Like, our mugs often get stained with tea and coffee, and there's no amount of fairy liquid that can get rid of them. So we'll just put a little bit of bleach in the bottom of the mugs, add some hot water, literally leave it for like 30 seconds, and it's gone.
Hattie, any stain removal tips?
I'm kind of like you, Heather, and that cleaning products aren't really my thing. But
they aren't my thing, I just want to say.
I don't get you were very excited about cleaning the communal
carpet.
More
excited about cleaning the manicures.
Yeah.
The one thing I do swear by is another Vanish product. They are just the best. The pre-wash bars. So it looks kind of like a bar of soap. And if you get a stain on your clothing, so if you spill something, rub a bit on, soak it in cold water. And I tend to leave it as long as I can. So like just leave it in the sink overnight or whatever. And then put it in the washing machine.
Ooh.
And it honestly really makes a difference.
Like any?
Yeah, so like food, drink, those kinds of things. Spilling. Down clothes.
Okay, so really we all need to stock up and Vanish. Don't
basically.
I really like this piece actually because it's got every different type of stain in it. You should treat it. Really clever. So this recommends dabbing red wine with carbonated or soda water and then washing it. This is if it's on your clothes, I guess, dad, not like a tablecloth or a sofa. But it also recommends how to get out butter, cooking oil and grease with corn flour. Supposedly treat it with corn flour. Additionally, you should dab methylated spirits on lipstick. Interesting.
They also mention now about blood that you should use cold water, not hot water.
My nana taught me that trick.
Interesting. Okay, well, next time you murder someone, you know how to tidy up afterwards. All right, well, for some more hacks on successful stain removal, then do have a look at the piece on the site. We're going to end by talking about some fashion now. We wrote a piece on all the autumn winter pieces you can wear now, whether it's things that you already have in your wardrobe or you're looking to purchase something for the new season. You don't have to wait until it gets really cold to wear your favourite wintry pieces, do you, Lou Huff?
No, you don't. And I just think wear them all year round. So cardigans we had on the list, I think they are such a good piece of knitwear. Like Charlotte and I get really excited with thinking about new knitwear, but often it just, like I'm wearing a jumper today and I'm already regretting it. Because often like your jumper is your look, whereas a cardigan is a layer and you can wear it over a pretty blouse like you're wearing now, Hattie, and it not sort of take over so much. Yeah, it's kind of can add something, like you can wear it over a little dress and then still have your dress as an outfit when it gets really hot, or like for a commute, cardigans are so good.
Yeah.
And also I love a cardigan belted. I think you can style them in a really cool way now. Whereas obviously, like, don't get me wrong, I love a like granny cardi, cute, but you can also make them look a bit cooler and a bit edgier with accessories.
Definitely.
Boots, again, are another one. I mean, it's again not groundbreaking, say wear boots with a dress or shorts or a skirt, whatever. But it's just nice to sort of not show your toes anymore. Put your sandals away and kind of bring out your boots. And I mean, I would wear them all year round.
And it's comfy footwear. If you exactly. Like, you know, if trainers aren't for you every day, we want to be a bit smarter. Yeah. It's nice to know that you've got the option to wear boots.
Exactly. And then not wearing a heel as well. It's just kind of, it adds another dimension to your look. I think if you've been wearing one dress all summer and you've worn it with, I don't know, sandals, flip-flops, Birkenstocks, trainers, whatever, suddenly wearing boots with it, it will just feel like you're just kind of taking it into like the next season, but still remain relevant to like the weather.
One of the tips I liked in this piece was that long boots obviously around a lot for autumn winter, like proper knee-high ones, which obviously it feels maybe a bit much at this time of year, but a lot of that trend is the western style boot, and actually that I think for some reason doesn't look as wintry as a kind of traditional block heel, round toe, or even pointy toe heel. So if you want to buy a pair that you can wear from now into the next season, then go for that western style, because something about the western look kind of works in summer. I think it's because I don't know, it's perhaps hot.
I think perhaps more in summer, if not, and especially in that sort of transitional time where you're sort of, you're not sure whether you're coming or going, then definitely.
But you can't make it work in like an Isabel Moronti way.
Completely.
So I think it's worth doing. And like Anine Bing and her white.
Yes.
I mean, they're pretty cool, aren't they? Hattie, are you starting to wear your autumn winter wardrobe yet?
I'm kind of starting to introduce pieces. So like my ankle boots, my leather jacket. I mean, that is an all year round piece, but it's just something nice about wearing bits of them. And like you were saying, you've still got a tan, you still get your legs out, but it's not too layered up. And I love that.
I actually wore my trench this weekend. I was wearing double denim on Saturday night. I was wearing that nice shirt. Lou and I both have that frilly Zara denim shirt. And it's quite hard to know what to wear over the top of that. Because something like a biker, you can kind of see the frills. It just looks a bit busy. But I wore my big oversized trench because the weather was a bit rubbish. And it was so, when you haven't worn something for a few months, it's so nice. It's feeling, isn't it? I was like, oh, this old gem.
Yeah. That nice Topshop one.
It was the nice, the really oversized Topshop one. And that's a great jacket actually, because you can't see anything you're wearing underneath. So it's quite, it's really easy to just throw on over everything.
I love
that. Nice. Heather, what about you? I feel like you like a bit of autumn winter.
That's kind of what I wear year round, and then just start wearing it without tights in the summer. Last year I was getting in trouble with you lot, especially Georgie, for wearing tights when it was hot outside, but that's just what I used to do. But I finally liberated my legs this year. I sort of started a little bit last year, probably because I went to America actually, and I really could not wear tights there without
your California road trip in tights.
It's definitely helped. And then this year, I can't remember the last time I actually wore some. I'm actually just kind of like, oh, this is it now. I feel like I've turned a corner in my life. And I'm actually, I remember, like, you know, in previous years and previous jobs, people in September being like, I don't want to start putting tights on, and I'd obviously have worn them anyway. So it's like, what do you mean? Whereas now I am actually dreading it. I don't actually want to put any on at all.
Keep it that way, Heather. I've got a friend who loves a tight, and she has a rule that she will only wear tights past Halloween. So that is her.
What if it's freezing cold in October?
She just embraces it. That's her rule of when she's allowed to wear tights again.
So otherwise you can end up wearing them for like 7 months. You like tights as well.
Love tights. I love just getting out all my winter clothes. There's something, so I think it's when we were talking about back to school vibes earlier. I have underbed storage, so all my winter things go away and I get out all my summer clothes, and then around September
you make the swap.
Just such a good, like, getting excited about it.
For those who aren't familiar with Hattie's style, you've got a kind of Blair Waldorf thing going on, haven't you? So I think the tights play in very well to that look.
Yeah, tights, skirts, boots, just the best.
And a hairband.
And a headband, of course.
Another look I love is a long duster coat with a short skirt.
Love that look. And like a high boot. High ankle boot.
Or just like a slide. I don't know. I think.
Or trainer.
I don't know. It just feels like way more appropriate and a bit cooler than like having your legs out, but then you've got this like power coat on.
I love that with then like a chunky jumper onto you as well. Exactly. That is like proper autumn style.
Short skirt. So I'm not sure about that with the bare legs yet.
Next summer, we'll try that one.
On a new note, these leather jackets are so nice. I've been thinking about getting a new one for about 4 years.
Just do it. Take the plunge.
Won't regret it, Heather. Yeah. Like, honestly, a leather jacket is, again, it's so boring that we keep saying this, but it is that piece that you will wear all year round and is just like the perfect staple to just throw on over a look. And it really does go with everything.
Yeah, we put in ones from like All Saints and Reese and those kind of mid-level high street brands that do really good leather. So they're not cheap, but they're all under £400. So they're an investment, but
I need some styling tips. I'll come to you too another time.
We'll do a feature and we'll talk about it.
There we go.
All right. I think we'll have to leave leave it there. I think that's all we've got time for today. If you enjoyed that, please do send us your feedback at podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.